This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
So I looked at the New Zealand Herald classified section and I found a position, teaching position for Otago University as a Japanese teacher.
Wow. At that point, you were reading the paper and you can see exactly.
The things will come to you if you really kind of wish for.
Hello, everyone. Takaho.
Selamat datang.
Konnichiwa.
Hola.
안녕하세요.
Assalamualaikum.
And kia ora.
Kia ora, everyone. Welcome back to Connecting Cultures Features, a show by for and about the multicultural people of Dunedin in New Zealand. In this show today, we have Haruko Stewart from the Dunedin Otaru Sister City Society podcast, a new broadcaster with us, and I'm very excited to get to know her just on a personal level as well. Kia ora, konnichiwa, Haruko.
Kia ora, konnichiwa. Hello. I'm Haruko Stewart from the Dunedin Otaru Sister City and from the University of Otago.
Yes. What do you do at Otago? Tell us.
I teach Japanese in the languages and cultures at University of Otago. Yeah, I've been there like for what, more than 23 years? I just lost the count, but for a long time.
Yeah.
And
you are also famously known as someone who organizes the Hanami celebrations.
Cherry Blossom Viewing Party. Yes. It was the 13th anniversary this year. And every September, we do have a Cherry Blossom Viewing Party.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite parts about being at university then, like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Because
joined us.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much.
Because I just know it's just going to be really fun and vibrant. Everyone's just really excited for spring.
Yeah.
But can you tell us a bit about the Hanami Festival?
Of course. Yeah. I mean, even, you know, samurai warriors used to enjoy Hanami. Basically, Hanami is flowers and mi is to watch. So basically, it means Cherry Blossom Viewing Party or festival, whatever you call it. And even like noble people in the 8th century, they used to enjoy, they started doing this. And first noble people used to enjoy cherry blossom. Oh, first it was a plum tree actually. But anyway, it became a Cherry Blossom Viewing Party. And noble people used to enjoy that. And after that, of course, like, you know, a lot of people started kind of enjoying. So even samurai warriors, after that, you know, samurai culture started and samurai people actually started enjoying Cherry Blossom Viewing Parties. And after that, commoners started, like myself, started enjoying Cherry Blossom Viewing Parties.
Aww.
So it's got a long history. I mean, really shorten it. I mean, it's got more like a deeper history to it, but I made it short. But basically, it's been a long, historic, beautiful party in which a lot of people do drink sake normally, but in front of the clock tower at university, of course.
No.
I mean, vice chancellors and everybody is watching us. So, of course, we'll behave ourselves. So we just have kind of juice and water and but sushi.
Yeah.
So 300, 400 people sometimes join us.
Wow.
If it's a sunny, nice day. Yeah. So I've been really, you know, cherishing this and try to my best to grow this, you know, party, and not just staff members and students. I mean, I'm doing this mainly for students, of course, but staff members and community, outside of the community outside of the university. So everyone is welcome.
Aww.
Yeah. So I've been doing this for a long time. Yes.
Yeah. It sounds like September or
September.
Usually happens during September, right?
Last year it started like, I mean, they started blooming like early in September, the 3rd of September. So it was too early last year.
So you can't organize until.
Exactly. That's my stressful time. I mean,
every day you have to go and look.
Literally, yes.
Time.
Really.
Wow.
I'm not joking. So, I mean, it's a great festival, great event that I'm really enjoying greatly organizing it, but and at the same time, it's a stressful time.
Yes.
Because I had to go there every day and started blooming, blossoming,
And, so how do you decide when it's ready for the festival? Can you see?
Yeah. Wow. When they started, like coming out, okay, from my experiences, I think maybe, okay, I have to see the weather forecast, like for the next 1 week, 2 weeks. And then, okay, this much kind of has started, you know, coming out. So, okay, maybe in 10 days, it will be like in a full blossom bloom.
And yeah. You've done this for 13 years, so you do have the experience analyzing
exactly.
The right time.
But I make a mistake because, I mean, weather, I mean, who can tell?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's always like a guess kind of work thing. So I had to really use my kind of, I don't know, guesswork skill, ability, and just kind of decide, okay, maybe in 10 days it will be in full bloom. So, yeah. This day is our day.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you for giving us the insights of organizing the Hanami Festival.
Yes.
With Connecting Cultures features, we go back into the lives of our guests and see who they were before they are here.
Oh, great.
So I wonder if you can tell us about yourself, Haruko. Where were you back then?
Okay. How many years ago do you want me to go back?
Baby.
Oh, my God. That's ages ago. Do I remember?
As far as you can remember.
Okay. Well, I was born in Osaka. I'm from Yokohama. But I was born in Osaka because, due to my father's business, we were transferred to Osaka. Although I'm from Yokohama, people do kind of ask me, you must be from Osaka. Because Osaka people, I'm not sure if you have heard about this, but Osaka people are very, not everyone, of course, I'm not generalizing it, but they are supposed to be very funny, interesting, frank people.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, sounds like I'm praising myself, like saying I'm funny and frank, but people do think I'm from Osaka because there are a lot of comedians coming from Osaka as well.
So there's a personality to an Osaka person.
Yeah, and it's a merchant city. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so a lot of merchants there. I mean, if you're merchants, maybe you have to kind of be good at kind of dealing with talking to people. Maybe you have to be people person.
Yeah,
that's why maybe. But it's a merchant city, and they've got agencies, which have got a lot of comedians as well, who are on TV in Tokyo too. So anyway, they're famous for being funny. So I don't know. So people think, oh, you must be from Osaka. No, I'm from Yokohama.
So tell me about Yokohama.
Yokohama. Okay, it's a port city.
Mm.
It's a bigger version of Dunedin. So if you like Dunedin, I'm sure you will love it because, once again, it's a port city. And a lot of things from foreign countries came into Japan through Yokohama. So we've got Yokohama, a port city, and Kobe in the west. It's a big international port city as well. And as you know, I'm sure you've heard the name of Nagasaki. So Nagasaki has got a port too. So, I mean, not just three of them, but those main big port cities, accepted and a lot of foreign things from foreign countries. They came into Japan through those port cities. So, like, for example, ice cream, which everybody loves, came into Japan through the port in Yokohama. So a lot of things.
Yeah.
So you can see very historic buildings in Yokohama as well.
So you said your dad has a business.
Not a business, but on a business trip. Basically, he works for a bank in Yokohama, sometimes you are, appointed to be transferred to another city to work for a branch office in other cities.
So your family is your parents, your sister, and you?
Yeah, four of us.
Aww.
Yeah.
And you're the youngest.
Yes, my sister is very different from myself.
How different?
I am, as you can tell, a crazier, noisier one, and she's a very quiet person.
Well, it's good that your parents have balance.
You're very positive. Thank you. Oh, that's great. Your way of thinking. That's great.
Okay,
yes.
So you have always been the crazier sister.
Thanks.
What was it like for you growing up? What kind of things do you enjoy doing?
I'm very noisy, but somehow I'm an indoor girl, so I'm more a sporty, like, athletic person, unfortunately. I just love talking and, you know, hanging out with my friends in a cafe. I've been always like that. I mean, I've been active, but not in the sense that I am athletic. I'm an indoor girl, but still going out to cafes, restaurants to talk to my friends. And I used to belong to a tea ceremony club. Yeah, so I think you want to talk about this one.
Definitely, I'm
noting
that down.
Since we know we both love matcha.
Yes.
So, yeah, I used to belong to a club, tea ceremony club, when I was junior high school and senior high school student. You might think, oh, okay, she's the person who actually cherishes like Japanese tradition, which is true too. But I will tell you honestly, I started belonging to that club because I wanted to eat Japanese sweets.
That's the perks.
Yes. But yeah, it was a great club. I really enjoyed it.
But you do like socializing. So that's
I love socializing. Yeah. In that sense, I am active. But when it comes to sports, I love watching them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the tea ceremony club soon.
Yeah.
I wonder if you can tell me a bit of insight into Japanese culture, Japanese values, the things you grew up with at home.
Japan is such a unique country, as you know, because it's a very traditional country, and it's got like about 2,600 years of history, and the emperor has been in the same clan. So it's the oldest, one of the oldest, monarchy kind of systems we've got. And so it's a very historic, traditional country, as you know. Yet it's got a very modern things like, you know, when people hear, okay, Japan, what do you know about Japan? Technology and tradition, it's a mixture of both. So if you go to Tokyo especially, it's, of course, the capital of Japan. And you can see a big city just like other big cities like New York, Auckland, you know, Sydney, all sorts of big cities. But you go to some alleys in Tokyo and you can see little, like, long-standing, like, shrine, Shinto shrine here and there. Like, so it's such a, cause I mean, I see Japan now from a foreigner's point of view as well. Although I'm from, Japan, but I've been in New Zealand. I've been living in New Zealand for like more than 25 years. So I see Japan sometimes from a foreigner's point of view. So I'm always amazed by these little things that I can see in Tokyo, like a big city, like so many high-tech things, robots in a restaurant and everything. But then, that's good. A shrine here.
Very traditional.
Yeah, between high rises. Very, very modern. The most modern, like, buildings between them. Maybe Miyazaki Hayao Miyazaki's world.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, okay, back to the, not future, the past. Like, really, so it's been here for how long? So that mixture really surprises me always.
What about the people?
People are, okay, please don't think I'm a typical Japanese person. I mean,
good to have a disclaimer.
In my first lecture every year, I say, konnichiwa, ohayou gozaimasu, nice to meet you. And people think, who is this noisy teacher? So I always jokingly say, okay, please don't think I'm a typical Japanese person. Maybe, they're nice and polite and quiet.
So polite and quiet is what people would say. Japanese person.
It's about courtesy, like it's about politeness to show respect towards other people. It's our tradition, especially like elder people or people in a higher position when it comes to working. I'm talking about work, being at work, of course, showing our respect even to neighbors, to anyone who is not inside your group. What I mean by inside group, like your families, of course, I mean, I call my father, like otosan, in which even in our inside families, we do show our respect towards each other, especially to our parents. So, otosan, because as you know, you've heard san. San is Mr. Miss. So you add that to somebody's name, and then that name becomes polite, right? So even to our fathers, inside the family, I show my respect towards my father. So I call him otosan, meaning father, with respect. And okasan, so I show my respect. But when it comes to introducing or talking about my parents to other people, I have to be humble because they're inside, like in-group, my in-group people. So within the family, I show my respect towards my parents, my sister. So otosan, father, okasan, mother, and onesan, elder sister. So I do show my respect. But when I go out and talk about my parents and sisters, my family members, I had to be humble because they're part of me and they're my in-group people. So just like I talk about myself humbly, I had to show humbleness to talk about my parents
to other people. I love how we're getting Japanese lessons from you today. I have a question.
Yes.
I have a question, teacher.
Okay. Because my lovely student. Here you are.
Because I did study Japanese class in my first year of high school in Malaysia.
Yeah.
I learned chichi and haha.
Yes.
Yeah, chichi wa, haha wa.
That's right.
So is that a more...
humble. Yes, when you talk about your parents in front of other people.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, great. You learned good things at high school.
Yes,
you just say you learned it for 1 year, but your teachers must have been, great teachers because that's what we should know. Because always in the Japanese society, it's about being respectful, showing our respect towards other people to make ourselves humble.
Interesting.
Oh, great. You've got the term.
Yes. Thank you. I feel like a good student now.
Yeah, you do. You do still remember. I mean, it's not a long time ago for you, but still you remember.
Yeah.
So that's
also, that's why it's different because there's different terms that you use to call depending on who you're talking to
in regards
to the person.
Yeah, so I know it's a kind of weird way of explaining this, but maybe it's easier to use this term. By lowering yourselves and your in-group people, you actually show your respect. So you humbly talk about your parents, about yourselves, and then that means you're showing your respect towards the person whom you're talking to, the person who is not your family.
Mm.
Yeah.
So Japanese culture essentially is around respect, politeness.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about your life growing up there? Mm-hmm. And because your personality is a little bit different, what was that like?
But luckily, fortunately, I've been surrounded by understanding people, including my parents and my family members. So they really advised me to be myself.
Aww.
Yeah, I felt like I was really noisy and not shy, and kind of my teachers at school told me off because I was talking to my, neighbors in class.
Yeah, like, you were that student.
Yes. So my teachers were, Haruko, be quiet. But never, ever been like in a bad way. Like, I mean, of course, if I were talking when they did want me to talk, of course, they told me off, but not like in a bad way. As a good, training, as a good discipline, of course, with affection. They did show their affection and kindness and everything Aww. Towards me. And so they told me off. But I've never actually felt, I've never had any bad feelings to be brought up in Japan. I love Japan so much. It's my country. I mean, New Zealand is my country now, too. But after all, I'm from Japan, so I still really love the tradition and things that they do as part of education at school. In Japan, I show my culture videos to my students always. One of them is about a great way of training students when they were still little. Like, you know, as you know, Japanese primary system is like 6 years of education when you become like 6 years old. So you've got, before that, you've got like, you know, nursery schools or kindergartens. But after that, you become 6 years old and you start your 6 years of education at primary school. And they do, for example, of course, show our respect towards our teachers. So when teachers come into classrooms, we stand up and we bow and we say ohayou gozaimasu, like greetings. And then when we finish our class, again, stand up to show our respect toward the teacher and thank them. And then, greet again. And then we leave. And we actually do cleaning, like everybody is in charge of different places in the classroom or in the corridor or in the garden on campus or everywhere. Students actually try our best to work hard, and we do have cleaning time. It's part of education as well. And then, of course, lunch is included, and lunch is actually made by cooks, chefs, of course.
You have chefs at school.
Yes. I mean, that one is a little bit difficult for kids to do. Like for what? Like 1,200 students. I don't know. I mean, how big that school is. But so that part is, of course, what other professional chefs are in charge of. But before, eating, we go to lunch kind of rooms where they make this lunch. And then we go there with our teachers to actually pick them up and thank the chefs. Mm. And then we go back to our own classrooms. And then Kyushoku Gakari, people who are in charge of serving the lunch. So that's what students do in that class. And then five of us or something. I mean, well, once again, depends on how big your class is. Maybe these days, I mean, in my generation, it was like there were like 50 students in one class, but these days maybe 45 in one class. And a few of you are in charge of serving the lunch. And after that, of course, you know, clear them up. And we had to, of course, put them this one into this rubbish, this one into this rubbish.
Very
bin.
Yeah,
we have
systematic.
We have to really follow that, environmental issues and everything, of course. Mm. So we learn from when we are little all those things at school as well, at home as well, but at school. So, of course, when you use your classrooms, you have to clean your classrooms yourselves. And when you do eat lunch, of course, we have to show our feeling of gratitude towards the people who made that for us. And then, pick them up and clean them up and give them back. So we have to learn all those things through our real experiences.
Something like from my point of view of a non-Japanese person, I see Japanese people being very disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you sharing all of this, you learn all of this from young. Mm-hmm. So it's very normalized.
Yeah.
For you.
I mean, Arena, I'm sure you've seen this one. Like when Japanese people go to like stadiums to watch sports and everything, sometimes like in the world news as well, they show Japanese audience getting together and collecting rubbish in the stadium and put them into rubbish bags, plastic bags, and then kind of leave the stadium with that bag. And then, of course, throw them away into a proper place. Mm. So I think not everyone does, so don't get me wrong. Mm. I mean, but normally that's what people do. And that's, I think, what we've been learning through those experiences at school. that in the so school special. Education system.
I feel like you can do a whole podcast about the school education system.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking, okay, how much should I actually talk about this? Because I could talk about this, like, you know, school discipline and everything, yeah. like maybe for 1 or 2 hours. So I thought, okay, maybe I shouldn't say too much because yeah. I want to talk about other things, a lot yes. of other things and with you too.
Stay tuned for Haruko's more episodes on the Dunedin Otaru Sister City Society podcast, because there will be definitely a lot of Japanese insights. Mm-hmm. Haruko, I mm-hmm. do want to ask about you coming to New Zealand. Uh-huh. Why are you here?
Thank you. Can I be here? Yeah. Am I allowed to be?
Well, you've been here for 25 years. I do want to yeah. hear that story.
Yeah, thank you so much. So I came here first in 1994 as a postgraduate student. Yeah, I went to Auckland University to do a postgraduate diploma in English language teaching because I was an English teacher already in Japan.
Wow.
Yeah, so I majored in English literature at university in Japan, and I was already doing English teaching job while I was still learning as a university student.
Pause that. Why did you want to study English while you were in Japan?
Yeah, well, I love Western countries' cultures. Oh. Yeah, I mean, people do, people are attracted to something that is different, right?
Yeah,
yeah, and I love, of course, Asian countries. I love my country, but I was really into Hollywood movies, and I was a fan of some actors.
Less than please.
Maybe it's another day when we can talk about this.
But, okay, next episode.
So I was interested in simply interested in Western culture, customs, tradition, everything that is different from us. Yeah, so I used to watch a lot of movies, Western movies, and everything was so different. So, well, I must admit, I mean, Japanese people are quite Westernized. Yeah, so of course, we do have a lot of, you know, Western things introduced to Japan. And we're used to that. But still, we do keep our tradition. So when I was little, I was just fascinated by this very different culture.
Mm.
Yeah. So in Japan, not now, I'm talking about my generation. We started learning English at the age of 12 or 13, meaning the first year at junior high school.
Okay.
Yeah. So I did start learning English actually when I became not an adult, but a teenager, not a little child. Yeah. So, I started learning English at the age of 12 when I was, the first year student in junior high school. And then I was really into, those different cultures and, movies and tradition and food, everything. And then I started teaching English, like I said, when I was a university student. And after I graduated from university, I became an English teacher at a private language school. And I thought, just purely thought, I should live there to be able to teach the language properly. I mean, of course, I had been to the U.S. for 1 month to stay, to learn English and to do a homestay program when I was 15 years old.
Wow.
So I had been to foreign countries, but still, I just didn't have an opportunity to go to foreign countries to live there for 1 year or more than 1 year, although I wanted, I was busy maybe hanging out with my friends and, because at that time in Japan, if you go overseas to, do an exchange program, when you come back, you know, what you had learned there wouldn't be actually credited. So I had to actually go to, 1 year younger, grade.
Oh, so you have to
if you come back to Japan and you stayed in a foreign country as an exchange student for 1 year, then you'll be actually, you have to study together with the students who are younger than you. Okay. 1 year younger than you, which is okay. But I think because I really loved hanging out with my friends in that same grade, the same year.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I will have other opportunities to go overseas anyway.
Yeah.
Anytime after this. Yeah. So I just wanted to kind of stay with the same year, the same grade until I graduate from high school. Yeah, but then, like I said, I majored in English literature. So at some point, I really wanted to study abroad properly, like more than 1 year. Yeah, maybe do a degree.
So why did you choose New Zealand?
That's a good question. I have to make this story a little bit shorter as well. As you know, a lot of Japanese people learn American English. Yeah, so I was into American English as well. But then I met a lovely New Zealand family through my father's job, because my father knew I really love, European countries, American, Western, New Zealand, English speaking countries, everything, foreign countries. So he knew I was interested in Western culture. So he said, at work, I am welcoming a New Zealand family. Yeah, I think that father was, client of my father's bank. Yes. So from New Zealand, a lovely family came, to Japan, and he was dealing with, business with this person. Maybe I don't know about details, but anyway, he was going to welcome a lovely family. So he said, oh, you're interested in, Western countries, and, maybe you want to meet a New Zealand family. Yeah. So, and I did, meet this family, and they were so lovely. And I thought, okay, America, I tend to think about at that time, especially, when Japanese people think about studying abroad, the first country that they can think of was America. So, okay, I should go to America. But the family was so nice, and I thought, oh, I should think about New Zealand as well.
Did you know about New Zealand before you knew about them?
Before I knew, New Zealand was full of sheep. Yeah. Well, that's what a lot of people think, which was true too. But of course, it's got many more things than that. I knew it's a beautiful country. It's a very safe, beautiful country with a lot of nature and a lot of sheep. So I thought, oh, maybe I should know. I should find out more about this beautiful country. Yeah, because I was still like youngish. So, I didn't know too much about New Zealand because, like I said, I was interested in Hollywood movies. So I might have had more knowledge about America. I thought, oh, I'd love to find more about other English-speaking countries as well.
So you came here to study your postgraduate
diploma because I was already an English teacher. But like I said, because I loved English, I was learning English a lot at school and by myself with my friends and watching a lot of English shows and everything. But at one point, I really thought that I wanted to live there to learn their culture and everything. Because as you know, we are living here. So by living in that country, we can find more real things. These days, especially, you've got the internet and everything, so you can find a lot about other countries without going there. But to be there, right there, talk to socialize with the actual country people, and you live there as a student, as a worker, as whatever, I think you'll find a lot more about the country. So I wanted to do that. Yeah.
So what was it like when you came to Auckland to study? Did you find any cultural differences, any challenges settling in?
Yes. Because I knew a lot about Western countries, I didn't feel shocked or anything. But of course, every country is different just because it's an English speaking country. It's so different. New Zealand is so different from America, which is great. So of course, I found different things like, I found a lot of things in common with New Zealanders because Japan is an island country and New Zealand is an island country as well. People are shy, a little bit shy, and which is a great thing, and but very friendly. Yeah, and I found quite a lot of things in common like that. Like my students as well, they are very shy and polite and respectful, and they love culture and respect culture, different cultures. So even people in my neighborhood or people outside of outside of university, I do find a lot of things in common with New Zealand people.
Aww.
Yeah, really respectful and really polite and friendly and nice.
So how long were you in Auckland?
In Auckland, I stayed there for 3 years because I did my postgraduate diploma in English language teaching. As an English teacher, so my peers were all English teachers already. So it was a course for already English teachers. Yeah, so I was able to learn a lot about English teaching, even more about English language teaching from my peers, my classmates. Yeah, and then after that, Waikato University at that time had an Auckland campus. So after finishing my postgraduate diploma in Auckland University, I took a master's degree of TESOL, Applied Linguistics, courses as a master's degree student on campus in Waikato University in Auckland. Yeah, and I stayed one more year there because I quite liked Auckland, so I stayed there for 3 years. But then after that, I thought, okay, I finished my master's degree in applied linguistics. So I was an English teacher over there in Japan, so I want to teach again languages. And then I looked at the New Zealand Herald just in case, and I thought maybe there will be no positions, but you never know, nothing to lose. So I looked at the New Zealand Herald classified section, and I found a position, teaching position for Otago University as a Japanese teacher.
Wow. At that point, you yes. were reading the paper and you can see exactly.
The things will come to you if you really kind of wish for something nice happening to you.
And you looked for it.
Yeah. If you never, ever give up. Yeah. It will happen.
Yeah.
I thought, wow. Because, I mean, you might as well stay here because I love New Zealand. I made a lot of friends, key friends and international friends in New Zealand. New Zealand is such a beautiful country where you can meet other international people and cute people. It's a beautiful, beautiful melting pot of different races. Of course, in my master degree courses as well, I met a lot of international English teachers. So, yeah, I thought I should teach my language here at university in New Zealand, maybe.
So you've been used to teaching English, but now you're teaching Japanese.
Yes.
Was it easy to switch that?
Yes, because TESOL, Applied Linguistics, and English Language Teaching, all those diplomas, master's degrees, which were actually designed to be great for language teachers, not just for English teachers. Yeah, the knowledge that you get out of these courses is actually what you can use for any language teaching.
Interesting.
Yeah. And of course, I had to learn a lot about my own language. As you know, when I was teaching English, my native speaker English teachers were always saying to me, oh, you know more about grammar because you learn grammar as a foreign person. If you are a native speaker of the language, if you don't learn the language as a language teacher, you can speak and you know what sounds right to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but doesn't mean all the native speakers can be that language teacher, right? I mean, as a teacher, you had to be trained, you had to be qualified.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they can say, like, they told me always, native speakers of my, you know, English language teacher colleagues were telling me, okay, I know my students ask me, oh, which one sounds correct, which is, you know, more commonly used, more frequently used in your everyday life. And I say, yeah, it sounds correct, this one, you know, expression A, expression B. A sounds kind of more natural to me. I can say that. But if I'm asked why, and please explain, I can't explain. So that's kind of what tends to happen to native speakers. Yeah, so because I was learning English as a, you know, learner. Yeah, so the same thing can be said about teaching Japanese. So I had to learn, of course, like, because, you know, terms that we use as a Japanese person to learn the language, as a foreigner to learn the language, it's just totally different.
Mm.
Yeah, so terms are different, and the way we explain grammar, vocab, everything is different, which is interesting. So I had to, of course, learn a lot about these things, and I'm still learning. I mean, everything is really, like, you know, not like you can just kind of gain like in one day, right?
And also language change.
Yes.
You know, huh?
Yeah, I had to be familiar with, like, you know, slang, not slang words, but, you know, casual words that young people do use recently. Yeah, so I do mingle with Japanese exchange students as well. Yeah, because I want to find out what is really real to young people in Japan right now, because I want to share that with my students. I mean, we use great textbooks. Textbooks are great, but, you know, systematically we can learn, and it's like something that you can always refer to. You know, it's systematic, you know, it's systematic, and it's really based on corpus, meaning like, okay, which word is the most frequently used one for beginner's level, and which one is, you know, what we should learn, what we should introduce in an intermediate class, blah, blah, blah. So everything is really systematically done. And, you know, it's not like, oh, I can teach this one, like at random to any, you know, level students. Of course, we have to kind of start, how can I say, like, introducing this one to beginners in this order, and then after that, in this order for intermediate students. So we want to really, like build a great foundation.
Mm.
Yeah. To improve our language.
And
right?
This is why you're a great teacher.
Thank you. So, I'm trying my best.
Mm.
So textbooks are great, but I do actually in my classes, introduce, casual expressions, new expressions, everything that young people do use, these days. So that when my students go to Japan, they can use them and they don't sound too kind of old fashioned.
Yeah.
Yeah. They want to use, now kind of expressions with their new friends.
So you've been in Dunedin for many, many years now.
Yes, more than 20 years.
Yeah.
What
do you do here to feel connected to your Japanese culture?
So I do have Japanese friends. Yeah, I do have Kiwi friends, and I do have international friends as well. But I do have Japanese friends as well, and we sometimes get together with each other to find out more about Japan, find out more about New Zealand. We can, you know, share very useful information with each other, which I need as well. I mean, equally, my friends, I mean, doesn't matter Kiwi, doesn't matter Japanese, international, I do really, respect and, you know, cherish and, really feel, you know,
Yeah, because you need different friends, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, it helps you as well to learn about every differences and similarities.
I learn a lot.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I've just become, you know, friends with you. I'm just so happy to have met you. Yeah, I mean, what, like we met each other four weeks ago? Yeah.
Yes, and Haruko's been really hard at training.
I just clicked. Like, I mean, chemistry. I mean, between you and me, I thought, oh, wow, she's nice. And I want to know more about you. So I do feel a lot with a lot of people like this. I'm interested in people.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm interested in different people.
What are things that you can't do here as a Japanese person that you miss about Japan?
That's a great question, but do I miss anything? Maybe food.
Yeah.
There are so many beautiful, nice restaurants here too. But I mean, I think it's what everybody does feel. I'm sure you do feel that too.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, you can't get everything, from your country, you know, however advanced this country is, right? I mean, not just New Zealand, anywhere. If you are not in that country, do miss something, yeah?
Certain ingredients you just can't find here.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. But having said that, it's not that important. I mean, I do go back to Japan once or twice a year. To take care of my elderly mother. So I go back there so I can eat whatever I want to eat there. So it's not that important anymore because we've got a lot here as well. And we've got something very important here, and which is very important to me to live here, which is nature, quietness, and people. My students, my family, everything here. I do love Japan, of course. I will love Japan forever, because it's my country. But I think I've settled down here and I feel quite comfortable here.
Yeah, you've made it home.
Yeah.
And you have everything you cherish as well.
The lifestyle with quality of life. Yeah, I mean, Japan has got quality of life as well, but I mean, everybody feels differently, right? I think it suits me. The lifestyle suits me here. Yeah.
Let's talk about well-being.
Mm-hmm.
How do you take care of your well-being here as a Japanese person?
I do Zumba.
Ah, you love to dance.
I told you, I mean, 20 minutes ago that I'm not an athletic person.
But you love to dance.
Okay, I will let you know. I didn't, but okay, after I became 50 years old, okay, I just realized I should do something that I had never achieved.
Okay.
Yeah, people can change anytime.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I shouldn't believe, like, about myself, like, okay, I'm not an athletic person. I can't do sports. I thought, wait a minute. Do I have to believe this, like, forever?
No, you don't.
Don't you think I can change?
Yes, you can.
Oh, anyone can change anytime, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
What a life-teaching moment.
Yeah, I know. So I thought, I can do anything, okay? Nobody stops me from doing that.
Oh, good on you.
Yeah, so dancing, which could be the last thing I would go for if I were like myself, like, 20 years ago, 10 years ago. And I thought, okay, then why not doing this? Yeah. And
and it makes you happy. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Oh, okay. I am actually promoting Zumba.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I've got great teachers, instructors like Afi, Jackie, Chantel, you know, Alana, all those, you know, teachers, instructors are great. And you can dance, you can make mistakes. That's what I love about Zumba as well.
Exactly.
Yeah, I thought if it's a systematic, I mean, kind of like a dancing kind of thing that you have to be so accurate at, maybe I can't do.
Yeah.
But this one, just have fun.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter what you do. Okay, steps, different steps. Okay, everybody is looking at this direction and you are looking at this direction. Okay. Doesn't matter. Yeah.
So that's just one way you take care of
your
being. Yeah,
for 1 hour. Yeah.
Very good.
Very good. Yes. Very good. So I do Zumba. And, okay, this is the first time for me to share this with you. Well, not only with you, with anyone. So you are the first person to actually hear this.
We're getting all these insights from Haruko.
I am thinking about doing karate as well. Yeah, next year. Because maybe it's too late this year to start.
Never say anything. It's too late, Haruko.
I know, but it'll be Christmas. I know. You got me. You got me. But I mean,
yes.
Realistically, I mean, this is what, like, soon will be November.
Okay, so 2026, New Year's resolution.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking about. Like, January in 2026, yes. I'm going to visit a karate dojo, and I will actually be part of them and learn. Maybe I should say this to actually encourage myself. In public, you announce something and you have to do it, right?
Oh my accountability. God.
I'm putting pressure on myself. Okay, I will do my best to get a black belt. Maybe. Oops. I said too much.
Haruko, I think you should start by actually going to the dojo first.
True. I haven't been there yet.
Yeah.
Okay,
step
okay.
By step,
aiming too high. Sorry. Okay, I will visit them.
Yeah, visit
I'll
first.
Be there at the door first, at the dojo.
And we are going to have these interviews to keep, you have to keep us updated
on
your progress, okay?
Have you visited them yet? Yes. Okay.
Where's your black belt?
Oh my God. Yeah, I said too much.
So karate is that... Is that Japanese?
The traditional, martial art. Yeah.
Exciting.
Yeah, so good for you, like to keep your well-being and good for learning discipline,
yes,
which we've been talking about, and courtesy, everything. Your politeness, respect towards your sensei, like masters. So you learn actually not just moves of karate, but you do actually learn culture, tradition, respect, everything.
And you're going to feel closer to home as well.
Yes.
That is
yeah,
so special.
I thought because I'm here, I wouldn't think maybe I would learn karate if I were still there.
Yeah.
Because I'm out of Japan, maybe I should learn something that is Japan. Because as much as I love New Zealand so much, I should still love Japan and I should actually keep something in me as a Japanese person, some Japanese-ness inside me.
Aww.
Yeah, that I can share with people here. Because, you know, the people here are so keen to find out more about Japan as well. I'm grateful. Yeah, so I think if you love your country, you should learn more about your country, because just like, you know, I was talking about being a native English teacher, you know, I was talking about it. I mean, it can be said about anything. If you are from that country, you tend to think you know a lot about that country because it's your country, but we don't know a lot. I mean, we should learn more.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's endlessly like, you know, I think we should think like that endlessly, like, we should
There's always more.
Yeah, there is always more.
Mm.
Yeah, so, I mean, new things are happening in any country. So it's not like, that's it. I know everything about my country. I have a lot of things that I don't know about my country and about New Zealand. So I'm just feeling so happy to know I've got so many things that I need to still learn.
Exactly.
Yeah, about Japan and about New Zealand. Yeah, it's my kind of lifetime job to find out more about those countries.
It's your mission.
It's my mission.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I can look forward to.
Yeah.
Yeah, forever.
Forever and
forever.
Forever, and ever.
Yeah. Good to have like a lifetime hobby, you know.
It is.
Yeah.
Just wrapping up this interview, I wonder if you can tell us what you're excited for in the future. Besides, you know, your New Year's resolutions and everything. What makes you happy every day?
Every day.
Yeah.
To see my students, I mean it. Sorry if it sounds a little cheesy, but I mean it. Yeah.
You are a lifelong teacher. It's just in your blood.
Thank you, Arena.
Yeah, even
I'm
you,
trying my best.
You being here in the studios, mm-hmm. Being part of our podcast and broadcaster family.
Thank you for welcoming me.
Yeah, you're. Yeah,
you've been so like friendly and welcoming me so much, and you accepted me a lot. Because I became an English teacher, like I said, because I'm interested in, you know, other countries, cultures and everything. But because I love talking to socializing with people, I want to be a people person. I love to, you know, find out more about other people. Everybody's different. Everybody has got different things, which really, really encouraged me to find more about. So, I love my students. So, and we are human beings. I mean, we do have sometimes problems. Sometimes I feel depressed when I wake up and people don't believe that, but I do. I'm a human.
Yeah, everyone's
do you remember?
A human.
Mm. So I do feel sometimes a little bit down, of course, just like other people. But when I actually go to my classroom and see my students, that feeling just is gone. And even if I'm still kind of okay, that problem, it's still kind of stuck here. But, you know, I just get into my classroom, my class, like with a big smile and everything. And then students give me back big smiles and everything. So it makes me so happy. So the smile that you might have tried to show to encourage, cheer yourself up becomes a real smile.
Mm.
Yeah, because, okay, they show their smiles, which make you happy. And then you are happy now. So where did that feeling go, that kind of down feeling go? It's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so much life teaching moments here.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited to keep chatting with you.
Mm-hmm.
One episode is definitely not enough.
Mm-hmm.
If people can't get enough of Haruko's chats, definitely go on to the Dunedin Otaru Sister City Society podcast. But Haruko, this isn't the last time you'll be here on Connecting Cultures. So yeah, we'll see you again next time.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I've just really thoroughly enjoyed myself talking to you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Connecting Cultures Features on RFM.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.